He was the man I couldn't quit. Tall, blue eyes, and 100% toxic. We were like fire and gasoline. He ended up designing the custom ring I'd fallen in love with years earlier. When I brought the ring home to show my mom, at first she acted thrilled. My sister wasn't shocked at all. She'd known I'd loved that design since I was 16. I'd always joked, I just needed to find the man. Around Christmas that year, my sister came to visit and my mom was showing off new jewelry. It was basically my engagement ring.
Ooh.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Red flag that.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you to join our 1 year anniversary giveaway. In order to enter, just make sure you subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and then comment on our anniversary episode. You'll see a link down the top of our YouTube channel. That's where we post all of our full videos of the podcast, and we all share it there. It's just a way to give back to you guys. We're going to have three winners, a $150 Visa gift card, and two winners of a $25 Amazon gift card. So make sure you enter. The winner will be announced March 12th. So you still have 1 week to enter. So this is your last week to enter for that giveaway. All right. On today's episode, I am joined by Beth Hoffberg. And you know when you meet someone and you just get that instant connection where you feel like you could talk to them for hours? That was Beth for me. All of a sudden, I looked at the time and I was like, oh my gosh, I just realized we've been talking for like almost 2 hours. She's such a light, but she's so smart. She's so kind. And I know, I just really enjoyed talking with her. She had so much to say. We had so much to just talk on. So a little bit more about Beth. She is a trauma-educated, certified life coach, intuitive tarot reader, professional astrologer, and someone with a master's degree in marriage and family therapy who helps people heal from past experiences and build healthier romantic relationships. But she doesn't just bring insight. She's lived through wedding drama too. So of course she shares some of the experiences that she has from her wedding, including demoting her maid of honor. So that was a real story that she had to share with us that was handled in a very mature way. You might know her as Intuitively Beth on TikTok, where she helps people figure out if their love connection is truly aligned. And she does so many other readings there as well. We also dive into soulmates, healing, relationship red flags, and what actually makes a partnership last beyond the wedding day. Plus, at the end of the episode, Beth does a fun little intuitive reading for the audience that you won't want to miss. So without further ado, here's my episode with Beth. Enjoy. Hi, Beth. Thank you for being
here. Hi, Krista. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you because I feel like there's so many different like areas we can go with. But like starting off, I always see your tarot videos and I find they're so interesting. I didn't really know much about tarot growing up. And then like I had more and more friends kind of tell me about it. And I just think it's so interesting. So first, before I jump the gun, can you just say a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and your background?
Yes. So my name is Beth Hoffberg, but on TikTok, I'm Intuitively Beth, and I have been a certified life coach for over 10 years. My background actually is in psychology. I have my bachelor's in psych and my master's in marriage and family therapy, and I worked like corporate jobs for a long time, but even as I've been getting like more and more into astrology, I'm like, oh my gosh, my chart is made to be an entrepreneur. Yes. And so I started my own businesses. And the first one I started was in 2016. And I've been doing various things since then. But I started practicing tarot at 8 years ago now. And then really just for myself. And then as the time has gone on and I've just like felt called in different directions and gone through my own healing process and things like that, I've really been focusing on it more. I love helping people who have gone through trauma get more in touch with their intuition. It's so hard after you've experienced trauma to like trust yourself again. I think a lot of times people are like, how will I ever trust somebody else? But really it's so much about how do you trust you and getting in touch with like your spirit team or whatever source you want to talk about it as. That's something I really like helping people with. And that's something I really had to work through after going through my own traumatic experiences. About 2 years ago, I'm coming up on my 2 year TikTok anniversary is when I started on TikTok. And I just started with tarot because that seemed like that was the place I really wanted to focus. But lately, I've been doing more and more astrology, like mixed with tarot for my clients. And that's like my favorite thing to do is astrology and tarot combined, because I think that there's so many powerful messages from both.
Yeah, I find it so interesting. Like I was kind of saying, I feel like growing up, everyone knows like their sun sign. And for anyone that's like listening, you know, that's your birth date, right? So yes. I'm a Virgo because I'm August. I remember always hearing like, oh, other people were Virgo too. And I'd be like, well, I don't really know if I believe in astrology because I know they're Virgos and we're so different. Then I started learning about like your rising sign, your moon. And I'm like, and I would read about that and I was like, wait, it's kind of clicking now. So
yes. Do you know what your moon and rising are?
Yes. I'm a Sagittarius moon and I'm a Libra rising.
Okay.
It's funny because at one of my corporate jobs, like we're talking 3-4 years ago now, my assistant, who also named was Krista. She's still here. Krista.
Still her name. Yes.
She's still here. She was actually on the podcast a while back, but she started sharing like different like astrology things with me. And that's when I kind of learned more about like rising sign. And she's like, yeah, we're both rising Libras. And that's why I think like we like kind of vibe because we're very forward facing, friendly. And I was like, wait, what does this mean? So I find that so interesting. I think when people learn more about it, it's really just like learning more about yourself in a way, right?
Yes. Oh, it's so funny because now that I remember that episode because I have listened to every single podcast.
Yay,
episode.
I love it.
It's one of my favorite guilty pleasures. But once you said Libra rising, I was like, oh yes, I remember this because I have found that a lot of times women that I find very interesting or that I feel like I would be like interested in talking to are Libra risings. And in my birth chart, Libra is in my 11th house, which is the house of friendships and networks. And so I just feel like that's a lot of times where that resonates in my chart, the like kind of friend compatibility or networking compatibility. But yeah, my sun sign is Aquarius, my moon is Leo, and my rising sign is Sagittarius. And then you can go deeper and deeper, right? Like your Mercury sign, your Venus sign, your Jupiter, who's your chart ruler? What aspects do you have? There's so much more to it. And the more that you dive in, the more you can see how it's so nuanced. And I agree, if you just look at just your sun signs, I think it is basically meaningless.
Right. So, because it could tie into like anyone or anything really. But yeah, when you kind of start peeling those layers, you can kind of learn a little bit more. And I feel like a lot of times it's like, I don't know if taboo is the right word, but growing up, it's kind of like this weird thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like more and more people are realizing it's healthy and it's good to learn about yourself in these different layers. And it's kind of just how the universe works, I feel like. I don't know if that really makes sense. But I love that you come from like a background of therapy, psychology, and astrology. So it's like tying them all together. So when you give someone advice, you're coming from multiple directions of being able to help them out or look intuitively in some ways.
Yeah, that's my lens. And I think that's even from why I like diving so deep in astrology, the surface level of just knowing the sun sign does not resonate with me, but I don't like being surface level on anything. So even from psychology, like I think a lot of times people are familiar with the Myers-Briggs test.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And from my background, I do not like that test because it doesn't have very good like validity and reliability. Like the test retest results are not very good. It's like not really the best test. And the people who made that test did it to try to prove their own hypothesis, which is not how you want to make personality assessments. And so I actually really got involved in and like went really deep on this other assessment called the Strengths Finder. Now sometimes it's called the Clifton Strengths Finder. And that's actually where I became my certified life coach programming. And it has 34 different strengths and every strength is a positive and it's so much more nuanced. So like I come from that lens too. Trying to dive really deep to the surface level is not enough for me. So being able to take all of the strengths that somebody has and put them into action, because we all have strengths. We all have our vulnerabilities. I think that's also part of astrology, right? Like a lot of times we'll have the tropes about a certain sign, like Aries, for example, people are like, oh, they're so aggressive and hot-headed because we look at the negative, but the strength of Aries is like, they're going to take action and they're going to fight for good things. And like, if you're in that higher realm of it, that's really good. I'd like to think of it as the balcony versus the basement. Mm-hmm. And so trying to take that strengths approach and then also bringing in the trauma lens. So it's a lot of multi layers, but my Aquarius mind likes that.
I love that you say that because my daughter is an Aries. And it was so funny because she was late. So she was like going to be a Pisces. It was kind of like a weird like line. But one of the things I always read was like, they're so strong-willed. And I have friends that are Aries too, but they're strong-willed. And I was saying to my husband the other day, I was like, it's funny because the things that you like, not necessarily don't want them to be as a toddler, but the things you're kind of like, okay, let's step back, let's take a breath. You want those things for when they're older. Use your voice, be strong, like don't back down from people that set your boundaries. So like all the things that she's like testing right now, like boundaries, I'm like, when she's older, these are going to be so powerful. She's going to be so strong-willed in like that good way of she's going to hold strong to her values and whatever that looks like for her. So I love that you say that because it really is the angle of how you're looking at it.
Yeah. And she's lucky to have you as her mom to teach her boundaries in such a healthy way, because obviously that's such a big part of what you teach in your content too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'm working and I'm learning myself as a recovering people pleaser as well.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to you for whether it's tarot reading or therapy, like what do you think most people come to you for? Is it love? Is it soul? Like, I know we were talking before about like soulmates, like questions about career, life. What do you think most people come to you for?
So my most popular is love. That also, I think, tends to just be because that's how TikTok pushes out, right? But a lot of times my most recurring clients are going to be people who actually do want to dive in deeper. So we'll work on all the areas of their life and really like bring in the astrology and look at maybe if they're trying to make a big decision or even manifest. Sometimes with some clients, I'll also work on tapping with them. I don't know if you're familiar with EFT tapping. Basically, it's emotional freedom technique where you can kind of rewire some of the traumatic beliefs that you've had. It's part of like somatic therapy work. And so that's something that I will sometimes work on with people, again, not in like as a therapist, but more as a coach. And that's something that I will also work on with people sometimes to just kind of rewire their beliefs and help them as they're trying to kind of take those traumatic experiences and then like put them into believing that that doesn't have to be their story forever. Mm. That can be really hard. But yes, definitely lots about love. Is this person my soulmate? Is this person coming back? Things like that. That's a common question that people have. I think especially because if somebody has found me on TikTok, they've likely seen other tarot readings on TikTok also. And those are very common readings that come up on people's FYPs. And despite what a lot of other readers will say, I don't think that just because a video comes up on your FYP that that means it's for you. Mm. I think that's actually kind of spiritually manipulative. Because I'm sure when you are scrolling on your FYP, there's times that you get a video and you're like, I don't want to watch that. And you just scroll by. Not every video that's on your FYP is actually for you. The algorithm's constantly testing it. And the same thing is true for tarot or any other spiritual message. You have to use your discernment. And that's another big thing that I like to teach on, that you got to learn our discernment.
It's not like, yeah, if you're like happily married, you see a video that's like, break up with him. You're like, oh my gosh, I got to break up with him. It's like, look at your own situation. Does that apply? No. Okay, scroll. Or vice versa. If you're looking for your love and you're like, it's an ex. You're like, oh my gosh, well, my ex was toxic, but it says my ex. I'll take everything you see online with grain of salt, because I feel like I just made a video the other day that was like, not everything you see is made for you. If watching something and you're like, what do they call it? The black bean theory? Like if you watch something,
yes, like bean soup.
The bean soup theory. Yeah. And you're like, I'm allergic to beans. Well, this video is not for you. Or apply it to something else. Yeah, I think we live in the day and age where it's like, you feel like they have to comment on every single thing, even if it doesn't necessarily apply or have nothing to do with them. And that's okay.
And then the algorithm, because you did comment on it, thinks that it is for you. So then you keep getting more of it. And then you get even more in like the delulu. So yeah, I think that is something I do try to help people with. I try to be really specific. And then of course, if somebody's getting a personal reading, then you know it's for you. Mm. It's only your energy and your spirit team's energy and no one else. So that's very helpful.
Do you do like in person, like you do them through social media? So if someone's hiring you to do a tarot reading, do you do like digital? Do you do in person? Do you find they're the same or different in that way?
I do it all digitally because that was something that I found was really needed for my own health. I previously was diagnosed with PTSD, and something that I found in terms of like reclaiming myself was being able to just like be fully free in setting my schedule and operating when like my nervous system was regulated, and also in operating when I feel spiritually attuned. I'm not, you know, unable to be like, if there's certain astrological transits that are happening, sometimes that makes me be like, oh my God, I can tap in so easily. And sometimes I'm like, this is a fog. I'm not going to read for somebody right now. So I don't like to schedule people because I like to be able to read for people when I'm like, I am in my power right now. Let's go. And so people will purchase something from me on my website, fill out their questions and everything. And then I can just set the exact ambiance that I need for myself, and I record it, and then I send them a link that they can watch as many times as they want. So I think a lot of times people like that because then they can sit with it, they can pause, they can reflect on the message. I just finished doing a bunch of 2026 year ahead readings, and those are like 90 minutes of recorded video. It's too much to take in one sitting.
Yes.
And understand everything. So I'm like, pause it here and then take notes for the next part. And yeah, so yeah, that's how I like to personally do it. And then I can also make sure that I'm really like tapping into their energy. And I do a lot of energetic cleansing in my own space. I always have crystal grids and, you know, stuff like that to tap in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I feel like that's really powerful. And it's true. Like if you do like an in-person reading, I mean, I feel like the same about like a therapy session or something. Sometimes you're like, wait, what do they say about this?
And, yes.
You know, so I feel like that's really good about being able to watch it and like pick it apart and be like, okay, what does this mean? How can I tie this to my own life? How does this apply? And answering those questions, you know, for yourself too.
Exactly. And sometimes I also go live on TikTok and we'll do readings live for people. And I've had people who have gotten live readings and do like through my website readings. And a lot of times people like kind of for the live readings to just get something that they need a quicker answer on or something short, or maybe just like, what does spirit want to tell them right in that moment versus something deeper, like trying to make bigger decisions or really understanding of a whole area of their life, or if they want me to bring in the astrology. I can't do that like in the 5 minutes on live. So yeah, I have to study their chart. So that's kind of how people like to separate it too.
Yeah. And you said you like started to study it. What kind of like led you down this path? How did you start kind of getting in tune, I guess, with everything and being able to do these readings?
So I started with tarot. I was on a trip, and this actually was the trip that my ex-husband and I decided to separate on. We were on our 5-year anniversary trip, and on that trip, we decided we were going to separate, and it was very amicable, but we were in a very spiritual place. We were in Sedona, Arizona, and I already had, as part of the trip, scheduled a tarot reading with somebody, and it was my first reading with somebody who I truly felt was like a legit professional, actually tarot reader and had psychic abilities. And the first card of my reading was the Tower card, which if you or anyone listening is familiar with tarot, tends to be the card people are the most terrified of. And that was the start of my tarot journey. But it was so on point. It was literally like my whole life was about to be upheaved, like an upheaval in my life, but I was going to come out in the end in a better way. Yeah, that kind of got me started. And then that tarot reader encouraged me to get this one app called the Golden Tarot. It's free. I recommend it to people as well, because that helped me to just pull a card every day and start learning the cards just even through that app. Then somebody gifted me a deck and I started playing with that. It all kind of gradually happened. After my divorce, I got into another relationship sometime later, and that turned out, unfortunately, to be an abusive relationship. And during that time, I was working with a spiritual coach who helped me a lot. And I was also doing therapy and all sorts of other things. But I was finding how a lot of times, like the truth that I thought, because I was being gaslit, I was getting so conflicted in like my intuitive space versus what was real and shutting down my intuition a lot. So then when I finally ended that relationship and went through the healing of that, and again, like lots of not just spiritual work, but lots of therapy, somatic therapy, working with trauma-informed yoga instructor. I was doing sound bath healing, like so many different modalities really to come back to myself. And that's when I was like, okay, part of why I felt so bad in that relationship was because I was shutting down my own intuition. And so as I started to open it back up, and I even relocated to somewhere that I could just focus on having my own peace and having nervous system regulation, I felt like things were just unlocking. And that's when I really started to dive super, super deep into tarot. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm ready to do this for other people now too. After I felt like I had gone through my own work. And I think that's really important when anyone is working with a coach or someone that's a healer or something, to understand what have they already gone through? What healing have they done before you just buy into like them coaching or guiding you?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, because you want someone that's gone through that similar like healing journey or like understanding of it through that lens, because if someone's just coming to you just to like sell you or make a dollar off you or something, then it could be perceived as, I don't know, like not authentic or something, you know?
Yeah. And like, I don't think that they necessarily have to have gone through all the same problems or anything. But for example, if somebody was going to try to find a therapist and their therapist isn't also in therapy, like that's a huge red flag. Therapists are supposed to also be in therapy. Like we get taught that in school for sure. So just things like that, if they're not also doing the work on themselves, they're probably not in a space to be guiding others. So,
yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. So I feel like there's so many different directions we can go right now. So I'm like, okay, I know you talked about your own divorce and you talked about how that's kind of like taught you a lot about yourself and that kind of led you down this journey. So what would you say your own divorce taught you about love and partnership? And then how, when you give advice now, do people come to you and ask, like, how do you kind of use that for your advice, if that makes sense? I know you had kind of talked about that as kind of like your guiding point, your next stage.
Yeah. So it's interesting because my marriage and divorce and then another very big relationship, those aren't the only two relationships I've ever had in my life, but they're two very prominent relationships. And my marriage ended extremely amicably. We ended up, essentially, I had miscarried three times and my husband decided he didn't want to have kids anymore. And I did still want to have kids. And so we decided we couldn't continue. And so we ended up parting ways. But I was able to take a lot of things from that relationship and know what I would want in future partners, because there were lots of really beautiful things. We were really good partners in many ways. And then the experience of the grief and how that can, you know, that it's actually very common that when people lose a child or something like that, that is a very common time that people end up getting divorced. Unfortunately, it's really sad. That other relationship that I had been in, I felt like I had manifested him because I was working a lot of manifestation. And I was working through things of like, okay, spirit, I want this and this and this and this. And the rest can basically be the same as like my ex or whatever. And then when I met the second person, he and my ex-husband actually had the exact same birthday. And I just thought that was like a sign. Right.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah.
Yes. And there were so many other things. And then there were certain things I was like, well, I guess I wasn't specific enough about that. He was working on himself, but there were things that were not healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think it taught me about how there is the ability to manifest, that people come into your life for specific reasons. You can ask spirit for certain things and people will come in, but that doesn't mean that they're supposed to be your forever person. And also I would say that ending a relationship doesn't mean it's a failed relationship. My marriage did not last for the entirety of my life, even though I definitely thought that it would. I never thought I would be somebody who would get divorced or anything like that, but it ended. But I wouldn't call my relationship a failure. I still think it was actually very successful. And I think that that framework is also really helpful, especially as I'm working with people who are trying to, you know, they want to get towards a life partner and realizing that you can be in relationships that you need to be in order to learn how to become the person that you want to be in your life partnership. Maybe if you were to meet the person that you think would be for you in your 20s, you hadn't gone through enough things that you needed to go through. You didn't learn enough yet. So then that relationship would fail, so to speak, or not last the lifetime. But if you meet them when you're in your 30s, because you had other experiences with other people, it is going to work out. Sometimes I think people think of that as like right person, wrong time. But I think it's like both people are not the right people at the time. It's wrong person, wrong time. You need the timing to be right. And so, yeah, I think it's just this idea of relationships can end and still be successful. I try to think about it also from like a job standpoint. A lot of times leave a job because we got everything we needed from that job and now we're ready for the next thing. And it wasn't because we failed at that job. It was actually because we reached the pinnacle of success and now it's time for something else. And we wouldn't be like, oh, you failed because you got another job that paid you more money and gave you better hours and was more fulfilling for you. That's not a failure that you left. And so I think if you can approach relationships in that same way of like, sometimes the relationship is no longer meeting where we're at. And it could still be successful, but now you have to leave that or it ends for whatever reason so that you can go to the next thing that's actually even better and is going to be more aligned for your future and more fulfilling to you and your purpose in the long run.
I love that. That's like healing in itself that you said that, because I feel like it's so much easier for us to look back and be like, oh yeah, that relationship didn't serve me. There was someone that I dated like in college and I remember thinking like, oh, like this is the one. I could go into like a long story. But looking at how that ended and what happened, again, I can go into more detail, but I won't for privacy reasons. But he did not treat me great. But looking back, I'm like, if I stayed, I would have been stuck in the same like hoopla of small town where I lived, probably just trying to please him my whole life. Like, oh, do this. And I don't think I would have done any of the career things I've done because I would have been so like stuck in that mind frame. And then even like my husband, I feel like you're talking about different people. If you look at us when we started dating, we were completely different people. Obviously, like at the core, I think we were the same, but we've changed so much about our personal life, our morals, our beliefs, so many different things. And I think the hardest or most challenging points in our relationship were during those changes, because like one person might change in one direction, one person might change in this direction. Now we're, you know, mid and late 30s. So we're more like, okay, this is more who I am. But definitely in those, you know, you look back and I'm like, who is that girl? Who's that young woman that I was? I was so different then. So it's very interesting that you say that too, because I'm like, oh, if we would have just met now, would it have been different? Or we also went to high school together. We did not know each other. But I'm like, definitely if we met in high school, it would have been wrong. Wrong.
Yep.
But it's just interesting that you say that, because I think so many times we're focused on like what our goal is of like, okay, dating someone, getting married, like all these steps. And maybe that's not how it should always go, right?
Yeah. And I think we are more comfortable with that sometimes for friendships. Sometimes we do like to have friends that last our whole lifetimes. But a lot of times people are like, yeah, I was friends with this person in college. And no one is like, wait, you're not friends with every single person that you were besties with in college. You must be a failed friend. Like, no, there's different people at different stages of our life. And the same thing can be true in romantic relationships. And then there's going to be people that you meet that are going to stand the test of time and do grow and evolve with you. And that's beautiful. But not everybody is going to be like that.
Right. And I feel like we need to stop guilting ourselves and others. It's not necessarily always good versus bad. Because I did a video too about like friendship breakups. And I think in the moment we're like, oh, they're the bad friend. I'm getting away from that toxic friend. But then you look back and you're like, no one was really good or bad. I think we just kind of had different roads ahead of us.
Exactly.
And we needed to go that way. So do you believe in your work and stuff, do you believe that soulmates are a thing, are real? Because I feel like people are back and forth.
I do. And I actually posted relatively recently too about a video like asking the deck if, well, and really the deck isn't its own entity, but like spirit through the deck if soulmates were real. I do strongly believe that soulmates are real. I do not believe in twin flames. I think twin flames is very different and very toxic.
Okay, so twin flames... You think they are a thing, but they're not good? Or do you think they're not?
I think the concept of twin flames is not real. And okay, that the belief in twin flames is a very unhealthy, like, kind of, I try not to use like a negative word that you're going to have to bleep.
It's okay.
But like, I think it's like manipulation of spiritual messaging in a very unhealthy and toxic way. And I think it keeps people attached to people in abusive relationships and toxic cycles. And there's a lot of spiritual bypassing. Soulmates, I think, is very different, but I also think soulmates can be in very various forms. One of my strongest soulmates in my life was my dog. So you can have soulmates that are pets, kids, family members, friends, teachers could be soulmates, and romantic people can also be soulmates, but not every soulmate is meant to be in your life for the entirety of your life. Some are, some aren't. And you're not going to necessarily meet every soulmate that's available out there for you. That's what I think.
People have multiple soulmates in their life.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I think, okay, so I agree with you. In the beginning, I was like, and of course, I have no background in any of this. This is just
a random
person saying, because I always say to people, I don't believe in soulmates, but I'm speaking more of like the universe,
the
or God, whatever you believe in. Yes. One person here, one person here, they're born and they have to find each other. And there's only one.
I don't believe in the one.
Okay. Mm-mm. That's what
I believe in many ones. And also, like, even if you meet somebody who could be like one of your ones, doesn't mean that it's just going to be sunshine and rainbows. You still have to put in the work to make that relationship work.
Thank you. Yes.
And just because relationships take work doesn't mean that putting in the work is going to work with everybody. So you could meet somebody who is not for you. You could think that they're soulmates and you could try to put in the work and it's not going to work because you're just not meant to be together. That's my belief, at least. That's yes.
No, I totally love this and I believe it because I've heard such this like, negative is not the right word. I view it negatively, I think. But like that idea that there's one person out there that you have to search for and they're waiting for you and they're your one romantic chance to like have this romantic partner. And I think then people think it's going to be butterflies and rainbows, like you said. Mm-hmm. Like if it's your soulmate, you won't have to like go through like a discussion or like have conflict or figure things out. It should just be perfect. And I think that's where like movies kind of get us as kids, like Disney movies of like, oh, that's their person. They're married happily ever after. And that's why I always say, I'm like, well, I don't believe in one soulmate because I feel like I have to work at it. We've worked together every day. Like sometimes it's like us versus the problem, or it's us kind of getting over that next step. And I feel like any couple that like wants to work together, they can make it work. But like you said, not every couple is going to work no matter what you try. It's just not going to work, and vice versa. So now I love that you said that, because I feel like there's such an interesting dialogue around soulmates and what they are and who they are.
Yeah. And I do think your true soulmates, whoever that is, they are going to push you in some ways, because at least my belief is that we are supposed to grow throughout our lifetime here. That's part of the human experience, is to evolve and to grow and to self-actualize, integrate all these different parts of ourselves. And so somebody who is really aligned with you is going to push you to do that. They're going to create a safe space for you to do that. Even in the healthiest of relationships, you're going to get triggered, but it's being able to come back from that. And I say all that and also caution that if you're constantly being triggered by somebody, you're constantly having all this conflict, then that's not the same. There should be times of peace. And there's also studies that show that if you're not happy generally and like see positive things around at least 65% of the time, the relationship is not going to last. Mm-hmm. So that's also, yeah, that brings in my like science side of
psychology, love that stuff.
And like using that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that stuff. I truly believe in like soulmates as friends too, because there's been like amazing women that I've met in my life. We've just like clicked, and I'm like, do I know you from another lifetime? And it's so interesting, like female friendships and stuff like that. I feel like it's just like a study in itself, because there's just women that I've like, some of the chapters had closed, but I would never have an ill word to say about them.
Yeah.
But then there's some that I've met that I'm like still lifelong friends. And it's just like, there's just something about meeting them. And I'm just like, our souls are aligned. Like I love that conversation. I know. I feel like I could talk to you about so many different things. You're so knowledgeable.
That's good.
But I know we have a limited time too. But getting into, I'm going to kind of switch gears, getting into like wedding drama. I know you have a maid of honor kind of drama story. So do you want to talk more about that? You had to demote a maid of honor.
I did have to. And I'm glad we talked about the friends concept already, because I wouldn't say that this was like a failed friendship. So my original maid of honor was when I was married before. She was my best friend from high school, and I had been her maid of honor. And she got married pretty close to when we graduated from college. Like she got married younger than I did. And so, yeah, I was her maid of honor. And I did a lot for her wedding. I planned and paid for not the entire bachelorette, but I planned the entire bachelorette and paid for like a lot of it myself. I planned and also paid for an entire shower, and it was a couple's shower, which for what it's worth, I think that's so cool to do a couple's shower. I love the like non-gender conforming things, but it was a lot. And I was in my master's program. It wasn't like I was rolling in the dough at this time.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of extra thoughtful gifts. She also had another shower that I also attended. Her wedding, we're from the Chicago suburbs. I know you are too, but are from that area. And her wedding was in Madison, Wisconsin. So it wasn't that far, but it also required an overnight stay. So there was still like, you know, the hotel and all of that. It all added up. But some of the other like extra thoughtful things that I did for her, like something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. I created a garter for her because I knew she wanted to do a special garter. So she had like a garter, toss garter. But this was back when we were still doing that stuff. I don't think that.
Kind of dying out a little bit.
Yeah, that's not a thing anymore. But I actually do think this keepsake thing is actually kind of cool. You don't toss this one. And we got fabric from her mom's wedding dress, from her grandma, from her dad. And like we sewed, me and my mom did this, and we sewed it onto her garter. So her garter like had all these like special people with her on the day. The person I was seeing at the time, he took a picture of her and her fiance, and that like one of their favorite pictures. And then he hand drew it, like, and it looked amazing. And I don't know if they still at this time, but I know like many years later, they still had that like hanging in their bedroom. So like a lot of very, very special, like extra thoughtful things. Okay, so fast forward years to my wedding, and I knew I wanted to have a very small bridal party. It was three people on my side, three people on his side, and one of those people was my brother and his sister. So it was literally just two friends each. And so I wanted her to be one of the people that was in mine, but I really kind of was like, my best friend from college, I felt like was maybe more like the right maid of honor for me. And so I was like, okay, it's fine. Well, she was in a different stage of her life at that time now too. So now she's pregnant and I'm living in Charlotte, North Carolina at the time. So I'm like, okay, I don't really want to do like a big bachelorette. That's not my scene. I was like 29 or something, 28. And I was just like, I didn't want to do that. So my best friend from college, she and I just went to Mexico by just ourselves for like a bachelorette. Mm-hmm. I was like, we don't need to do a bachelorette. For my wedding showers, I flew back to the Chicago area and we had two wedding showers on the same weekend. So it was back to back. So it was like, if you were having to travel, it was fine. She didn't travel in. Was just like a couple hours away and she didn't come to either of them.
Oh.
And I was like, you didn't even have to plan them, but you could like come and stay for free at your mom's house who lives like 5 minutes from where the shower is.
Yeah, it's odd to not even like try to come. And did she RSVP no or just like...
She RSVP'd no. She said that she just couldn't come because of everything that was going on. But I was just like... She was pregnant. But it wasn't to the part of the pregnancy yet where like you're not supposed to like drive or be. And yeah. So, but I was like, okay. I mean, I get it. I was like, okay. But then as we're like getting closer to the wedding, I was like wanting everybody to come in from the bridal party because we didn't do bachelor. My ex-husband also didn't do a bachelor party. We just literally were like, we just want our bridal party to come in one extra day early so that we can all hang out together for one night. That's all we had asked of them. Yeah. And then, yes, they were going to need to travel because we were, you know, nobody else lived in the same city that we were living in, but that's all that we were asking. And she couldn't do it. And she wasn't even going to make it to the rehearsal the next day on time. And so I was like, I just felt like the reciprocity wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I just think it would be better for you to just, I would still love for you to come to the wedding, but I think it would just be better if you just come to the wedding and as a guest, and then that's cool. Yeah. So, because at that time she would also have had her baby. We were having a child-free wedding. And so I was just like, come as a guest. Her mom was going to come and like take care of her child. And I didn't feel bad about that either because my parents also were involved with like, helping on her wedding too. So like, it's fine. But yeah. And then I ended up having my best friend that had taken me to Mexico. She was my maid of honor for real. And then I asked one of my friends from childhood to step in. And I felt bad because it was like, I should have asked her from the get-go. And I felt bad as like a replacement, but she understood. It was fine. There was no hard feelings. So, but it did kind of lead to me and my original maid of honor, my high school friend, like we just kind of like separated ways then. I felt like, yeah, the reciprocity just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And that I just didn't feel like as seen or cared for in the way that I felt like I like had deserved, I guess. So.
Yeah. Okay. So when you had to demote this maid of honor, how was her response? Do you feel like it was like something, anything changed in the relationship, or do you feel like it was okay after that happened?
Well, she definitely agreed that that was going to be for the best because also she was also like iffy on even if she could make it to pictures. And I was just, you have like one job. Like I literally have barely asked you to do like anything. I understand she was going to be in a new phase of life of like being a new mom. But I also think, you know, sometimes we have to make sure we're still celebrating the people that are in phases of life that like we were celebrated in when we were in that phase.
Yeah.
It's hard. I do see why it would be difficult for her to travel. I get that. But also it's like, I need one day. Like,
remembering.
You know, so yeah. So she agreed that that was going to be for the best. And I was happy that she was going to still be coming. I was very happy about that. And we did have fun at the wedding. But I honestly don't think we've even seen each other since. We do live in different states and everything, but it's just been like much, much more distant ever since then. Something else that kind of felt like the icing on the cake, so to speak, was even from like the gifts. I had put so much thought and energy into the gifts that I was giving to her. So personalized, like lifetime keepsakes. And for me, she got like 6 wine glasses off my registry. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, I was registered for them, but like also that was more for me to be able to have for guests because I'm allergic to wine.
Oh.
And she knew that. And I was like, this is not personable at all. So I just was like, this relationship is just like met the end of its main course, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's okay.
And I feel like moments like that kind of make it clearer. Like, okay, this is our last big hurrah, and then that's that. Because yeah, it's like definitely being pregnant or having kids changes things. But like for me, like I was a maid of honor when I was like 6 months pregnant, and I was like gonna still do everything as possible. Like I was still planning the bachelorette. We were on a boat for the bachelorette. Granted, at that part, I think I was 15 weeks, but still, it was like, I remember I was like a nervous Nelly when I was pregnant. So I was like, okay, we're gonna go on this yacht on Lake Michigan. Okay. But yeah, you still make some sacrifices for friends, and at least making effort or showing that you're interested in being there and excited for them. Definitely.
Yeah, I just didn't feel that. And I don't like having a ton of attention on me, despite being on TikTok. But like in a group like that, like I don't really like being around a ton of people at once or things like that. That's why even I wanted a small bridal party. But I just needed to know that the two people I was really choosing to be on my side, nothing against his sister, but like that was his sister.
Right.
She was very supportive. Love her. But like the people that I was going to have there, I wanted to really like, I needed them to be there for me. There were all sorts of other dynamics going on that like I needed that. And so I'm very thankful I made the choice. And then the person who I really did want to have be my maid of honor, she was my maid of honor for real. And that all worked out really well. And I know I made the right choice because I saw something months ago. It was like a question on Instagram or something that was like, if you were to walk into a room and every person that you've ever met in your entire life, dead and alive, was in that room, who's the first person you would seek out? And my first reaction is like, that is terrifying. Like, that is way too many people. I would be so overwhelmed. Yes, there would be people who I'd be so excited to see. And there'd also be people who I would be wanting to avoid for my safety, whatever. The person I would most seek out is the person who was and actually was my maid of honor, my best friend from college. Even though we live in separate states and we don't get to see each other very often. And, you know, we talk with not like the most frequency either. But I just know that I could be like, oh my gosh, Kristen. And she would be like, I got it. And that's who I needed by my side in that moment. And that's who I would still count on. I would then, you know, then I would want to see like my grandpa that passed away and stuff like that. But like the first person I would seek out is the person who would be my regulator.
Yeah. No, that's a great like exercise for people getting married to be like, do you visualize those people there? And to listen to your gut. Because it's funny that you say, you had a gut feeling kind of in the beginning too, because I read a story yesterday that will be out on YouTube, but like she literally starts it with that I had a gut feeling about a friend, and it wasn't maid of honor or anything. It was about just inviting her to the wedding. She was like, I don't know. I had a gut feeling and my gut was kind of saying no, but then the friend reached out and was like, I need to come to your wedding. And she said, yes. And it like all these weird things happen. And so it really is about listening to your gut, about people in your wedding and making those calls. And it sounds like you guys had a really like mature conversation about it. And like both people were mature, because you hear of those where it's like they get so offended because they're not in the wedding anymore. It's like, I'm doing this because it's best for both of us, not just me. I'm not being selfish or rude. This is what's best for both of us. And I think when people respond, it shows a lot about like both people's character.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into, I'm like noticing the time and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could talk to you for so long, because when we start talking about like astrology and like personality tests and I don't know, all that stuff, I like love any of it. Anyways, let's get into some quick wedding hot takes and then let's get into the story submission. Okay, this is going to be a little red flag, green flag. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
Okay. They propose after 6 months and say, I just know.
I think that it depends on the age and how often they've been actually spending time with each other and what other experience they've had. So I'm sorry to say that that's like an it depends. Yeah. If they are less than 25, that is a hot no for me. I'm sorry. Like your brains are not fully developed. It's no offense. Like it's just the reality. Your brains are not fully developed. You don't know after 6 months. If you are older and you've been in serious relationships and you are spending time with each other and you've seen people in the different seasons, like you've seen them be angry, you've seen them go through something hard and like and things like that, then I think that 6 months is okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these I feel like are hard to say, red flag, green flags. They're not so obvious. And there is a lot of nuance to these, right? You could never say like, oh, it's completely a red flag. And then someone listening is like, well, we got engaged after 6 months. Now we've been married for 25 years. And it's like,
totally.
There's always a scenario where it can absolutely be good. But okay, your partner's mom says, I'll pay for the wedding, but I need a final say.
I think that that is a red flag. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's holding money over you and it's tough.
Your fiance refuses premarital counseling because we're fine.
It doesn't even matter what the rest of it is. Immediate red flag.
Immediately. Like,
refuses premarital counseling, red flag, but what is the rest of it?
It just, he says, because we're fine. Or I should say, they say we're fine.
Yeah, red.
Yeah.
Bright red.
They want a huge wedding, but you'd rather elope and they dismiss you.
The dismissing itself is a red flag. The disagreeing isn't a red flag, but the dismissing is a red flag.
Yeah, agree. Your fiance wants their ex invited to the wedding to keep things peaceful.
I need a little more context. If it's the ex and it's like their child's parent, mom or something, and that, like, okay, I could understand that situation. But if it's just like their ex and they have no other ties to each other, immediate no.
Right. I know the first thing that pops into my mind is like the mother-in-law still gets along with the ex and just and wants her. Because I've read, it's outrageous the number of stories.
You have read a lot of stories like that.
Yes! It blows my mind like that the mother-in-law is like, let's just invite her. That's the plus one. Like the confessions I get on Instagram, which we'll get to, but I've gotten multiple that say my ex's, now ex's mom brought his ex as her plus one to the wedding. I'm just like, what? Wild. During conflict, they shut down and disappear for hours or days.
Okay, so for hours, I would say that that is more of an amber-colored flag. It's something hopefully that they would be working on. Disappearing for days and you're getting married to them, that's a problem. So, yeah, you know, people have different ways of dealing with conflict. And depending on how they get triggered, if they might need to, like, yeah, shutting down does sometimes happen. But if it literally happens every time, just bringing up even something small, like, hey, babe, I asked you to do the dishes and they aren't done and they shut down and won't talk for hours, that's a red flag. Yeah, so.
Your fiance has no opinion on anything and says whatever you want.
I would take that as a red flag in my relationship because that's not the type of person I would want to marry. Some people probably would like that and like to just be able to make all their decisions. Apparently, the people in the skit that you're doing right now, like the sisters, they would like that from their partner.
I know.
I would not like that.
I know, but especially with wedding planning, I feel like it shows they don't care. But like, again, me, I would be like there's some things for my husband. When we were wedding planning, he was very involved. We're making decisions together. If he would have ever just brushed me off and been like, whatever you want, I'd been like, this is our wedding. But if he was like, oh, I don't know, like, I trust your opinion, so whatever you want. I feel like there's a difference with like tone too.
Completely. So,
I don't know.
I also think like there were definitely times when I was planning my wedding that like both of us were kind of like, we don't care. But if one partner is constantly like, so then neither of us care, so you have to decide, that is a mental load issue now.
Yes.
So I think that like that also comes into play. And then the wedding does show how you're going to operate in your marriage too. And I feel like that's a thing people forget a lot is like, it's not about the wedding, it's about the marriage and the partnership. So
Yeah,
that would be like, if I had to choose red or green, I would choose red. And that person would not be for me, but maybe for some people, that's the relationship they would want.
Yeah. The wedding is the precursor to how the marriage will be for sure. If you have toxic in-laws or issues like drama, it's going to be a precursor for how the marriage is going to be. If your fiance is very passive, I had a therapist on here, Kate Gray, like this was probably like 6 months ago now. And we like were talking through one of the stories and we kind of came to that conclusion. We're like, yeah, we're like, depending on like how it goes, not all scenarios, of course, but that's going to be kind of a peek into how your relationship might be. If you have meddling in-laws or meddling siblings, or, you know, it's only going to get harder if you move in together or you have children or you have a career change, you know, whatever those things are, these things can follow. So it's good to like set boundaries or nip them in the bud before it like happens, you know. Okay, last one. They get mad if you don't text back immediately.
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would agree. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story, packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to kristaennis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook.
Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself.
Okay, let's get into this week's story so I don't go too over time here. Okay, here we go. This was my first marriage. We got divorced 11 months after the wedding because he was cheating. I got engaged at 26 to a man I dated since I was 18. From the very beginning, there were signs of infidelity. He had issues with cheating early on.
Ooh.
And being young and naive, I ignored it because he always insisted he really loved me. Looking back now, it was clear manipulation. I mean, that goes right into the gut feeling we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You have a gut that it's bad or something's not working. It's probably right.
The other thing that I'm immediately wondering is, like, how old was he? She was 18. I just have a feeling he was not.
That, I think about that too, because I read stories like this before. Because she's saying, okay, so she was 18 when they started dating, and then they got engaged at 26.
Or she was 26.
Yeah, but... so she doesn't say his age, at least yet.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend I was perfect either. Over the years, he pushed and pushed me to even the score. Eventually, I did, and I'm not proud of it. Are they talking about cheating?
Or, like, stepping out in a way? Like, but that's a little tricky, because if he was pushing her to be with somebody else, that's not really cheating if she's doing it because he coerced her to do it.
It's almost like he felt like he almost wanted an excuse to cheat more, or to be like, well, I cheat all these times, so, like, you go do it or something.
Yeah, that's kind of odd. It's not really cheating. It's almost like a not quite open relationship.
You're like,
this sounds like a very challenging dynamic.
Yeah. It says, eventually I did, and I'm not proud of it, but that's the kind of toxic relationship it had become. We were both stuck in a cycle that never should have lasted as long as it did. When I was 24, he went ring shopping, and I showed him the exact type of ring I loved. Custom design, specific setting, the whole thing. We didn't have a lot of money at the time, and I truly would have been happy with something simple or smaller. But then, nothing happened. 2 years went by, and our relationship felt like it was stuck on pause. I hit the point where I finally had the do something or I'm done conversation. Which, how do we feel about that?
I feel like if you have to have the do something or I'm done conversation, that it already is done. You don't want to force somebody to get married. It sounds like this relationship has a lot of coercion in it, and that's just never going to be able to be redeemed,
yes,
unfortunately.
Absolutely. Yeah. He didn't respond, so I packed up and moved out, thinking, this is it. I'm actually done this time. But then he begged me to come back, and about 4 months later, we got engaged. He was the man I couldn't quit. Tall, blue eyes, and 100% toxic. We were like fire and gasoline. He ended up designing the custom ring I'd fallen in love with years earlier. When I brought the ring home to show my mom, at first she acted thrilled. My sister wasn't shocked at all. She'd known I loved that design since I was 16. I'd always joked, I just needed to find the man. I should mention, my parents aren't together. And the man my mother destroyed our family for, he was married. So this is like a cycle.
Okay.
My mom was the other woman for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. I just talked to a friend of mine that's a therapist, and you might have seen this in your work too, but she, you might know the name of it. I can't think of the name, but there's like a study about like looking at cycles of like
intergenerational
trauma,
cycles.
Intergenerational, mm-hmm, like trauma and stuff. And she's like, if there's like cheating in a lineage, like it's very common. Like if a mom was cheated on, maybe her mom was cheated on. And it's just like this interesting thing of like, you don't think like, oh, because I was cheated on, maybe my mom, you know, or whatever, or she had breast cancer because she had this, you know, it's just this interesting lineage, mm-hmm, that you can see. So when I just saw that, that's kind of what made me think of it, as I was like, oh, she's kind of looking back and it's like, oh, her mom was in a relationship where the man was cheating.
Yeah. It sounds like the person at this, while she maybe didn't have the awareness when she was going through it, where she's writing to you right now, sounds like she does have a lot more awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I'm getting too. Around Christmas that year, my sister came to visit and my mom was showing off new jewelry. It was basically my engagement ring.
Ooh.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Red flag that. I am not okay with that.
This came out of left field. I thought this was going to be all about the guy. Same design, same setting. Only hers was yellow gold with yellowish diamonds instead of white. When I confronted her, she told me it was completely different and that I was being dramatic. But it wasn't different. It was identical, right down to the setting.
Ugh, I was furious. I feel sorry for her.
No, imagine like that's your moment of like being so excited. Obviously, the relationship has its issues. It's toxic. But that aside, right? She's so excited. And the mom's like, you know what? I'm going to go out and get myself the exact same.
And it was her custom design and everything. Like, how can you say it's different if it's like, oh, we both had a single solitaire, like, princess cut. It's the exact same. Like, okay, but no, it sounds like this person created some whole special design, special setting, her own vision that she's wanted since she was 16. They had it custom made.
Yeah.
I don't believe the mom.
A little interesting.
Yeah.
She said, I was furious. My sister immediately told her she should never wear it again because it was a blatant copy and incredibly rude. Good for the sister.
Yeah.
My mom got angry and said she wouldn't wear it on my day. Fast forward to about 1 or 2 months before my wedding. Planning was going pretty well until my mom showed me what she was planning to wear. Here we go. Wait, and I didn't notice. So it says the mom. Okay, so the mom destroyed her family. So I'm guessing she was also married, cheated with this man. Who was also married, right? Sounds like they were both married. She said, my mom destroyed her marriage for 10 years, meaning that she never got married to this man. When my intuition is saying she's jealous now that her daughter's getting married to this man when she's been the other woman all these years, right?
Yeah.
It says, I go to her house and she proudly pulls out a garment bag, a white garment bag. Inside was a white gown. Just when I think
she knows exactly what she's doing. She knows exactly what she's doing.
No one is that naive to be like, oh, you can't wear, you can wear a white dress to your daughter's wedding. What? My ring's different. What? Her excuse was, you're doing a black and white wedding. What color am I supposed to wear?
Oh my God.
My sister and I immediately shut it down and forced her to find something else. The disappointing part? The next dress she chose was literally the same dress my stepmom had already purchased. Thankfully, my stepmom is an angel and just picked another dress without making it a thing. That is an angel.
I'm glad this person has her sister, her stepmom, like people in her corner who seem to get it. Her mom is a problem for sure.
Yes. Yeah, you need those people to like not add more gasoline to the fire, like she was saying earlier, just to kind of be like, and I know some people get mad in the story sometimes when I'm like, you can keep the peace, like it's protecting your boundaries in some ways, right? Keeping the peace doesn't necessarily mean you're hurting yourself. It just means like not igniting more, because I think there's some people that thrive off the drama and they want to start more drama, you know? So I feel like they were very smart about like, you know what? We're not going to even bring it to her attention. Let's just change the dress, you know?
Yeah. Or the bride could have gone to the stepmom being like really upset and the stepmom being like, I don't care enough. I want to solve this problem for you. The way that I want to solve it is by getting a different dress and not engaging with your mom and then take this off your plate. So it's like up to the stepmom to make that decision. The bride just out of it. And that's like, those are the people you need when you're going through stuff like this.
Yeah, 100%. My bridesmaids couldn't decide on a dress. So I told them to pick whatever style they wanted as long as it was black and church appropriate since I was having a church wedding. I recommended T-length because it was popular at the time. When it came to shoes, I asked for their input and only one had an opinion, silver. So I said, okay, silver it is. I truly thought I was being accommodating, but somehow I still got labeled as a bridezilla. Then the guest drama. One bridesmaid, let's call her the bridesmaid, was single and not dating anyone. Since the wedding was out of state, I asked my aunts if she should get a plus one. They said no. So I didn't give her one. She decided she was bringing someone anyway, a woman friend of hers I'd never even met. Luckily, I was able to accommodate it last minute since a few people didn't show up. Again, she was just like, you know what? It's annoying, but whatever. We're just going to make it work. I feel like personally, if someone was flying into my wedding, I would probably give them a plus one. But also, like, if you're in a wedding, like, you're not going to really be seeing your plus one that much until the day.
You don't have that much time usually. Yeah. And probably also just depends on, like, the other people in the bridal party. Like if everybody is basically single, then it doesn't matter. Just like let everybody just come by themselves.
Yeah. Dinner was catered by a super talented chef who was a close friend with my ex. But at last minute, he decided to bread the chicken. That mattered because the bridesmaid had celiac disease and she accused me of trying to poison her on purpose.
Okay, multiple red flags.
Yeah. Because, like, it's not like she snuck, like, something in there. Like, you can see it's breaded. So, like, okay, let's figure it out and get something else.
Oh, but also gosh. Huge red flag on the chef, because that's not okay to change the menu. And yeah, especially with something like that, where it's literally going from not gluten to having gluten, like that's a big no.
It makes me wonder if it was one of those things where it's like, because it's a friend of the ex, if they're like, just make us whatever. And there was nothing actually set in stone, or the guy's like, oh, I gave them a discount, so I can just make whatever I want. So I always say that's a problem with hiring friends sometimes, is because there's not always a contract and they're not always taken as seriously on both sides. I've seen both kinds of stories. Yeah, it makes me kind of wonder what happened there. She said, yes, seriously. She left before the cake cutting and made a big show of it, like I was some evil mastermind plotting her downfall with breadcrumbs. Also, why would you immediately be like, oh, it's the bride's fault, she's trying to kill me? Like,
right.
That would never be my first instinct. I'd be like, oh, they made a mistake. Same. Like, I was vegetarian for years. I know it's not the same thing. I chose that. I wasn't allergic or had issues. But like, I was vegetarian for years. How many times I get served food at restaurants with meat, or I'd go to someone's house and they'd give me something with meat. I would never be like, oh my gosh, you tried making me eat animals. Like, that's not my first thought.
No. So I do actually have a lot of food allergies, and this can be difficult as a wedding guest, because a lot of times I'm like, I literally cannot eat anything. But depending on whose wedding it is, I'll ask them, especially if it's like way in advance, I'll be like, I have food allergies. How would you like me to handle it? Like, do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to talk directly to a wedding planner? Do you want me to talk directly to a chef? Do you want me to just bring my own food? Like, what do you want me to do? Because I don't want to put more on the bride and the groom or whoever's getting married. Like, no. And I would never assume that if somebody served me something that I was allergic to, that the people who invited me to their wedding were like, let's kill Beth. Like, what?
Yes, I know. It's like, so she already had some kind of thing against her.
Yeah. She shouldn't have been in the wedding. I feel like we need to normalize people saying no when they don't support the bride and groom.
Yes.
Like, if you don't want to be in the wedding, say no.
Yeah, just save everybody the headache later.
Literally.
Sabotage it or say something rude. Just like, no, thank you. It's okay. We'll move on.
Yes, exactly.
During the toast, my ex's brother stood up after drinking for what felt like 6 straight hours and gave a completely incoherent speech. At some point, he dumped alcohol on his pregnant sister-in-law. Then he smashed a glass on the floor to celebrate and expected everyone else to do the same.
Oh my God.
We had him escorted out.
Okay, I'm glad that they handled it.
But somehow he came back.
Oh my gosh.
A week before my wedding, okay, so now we're going back a week, my mom and her married boyfriend broke up because he wanted us to remove people from the guest list. People who knew him, knew his wife, and could expose him. Maybe you just shouldn't come, and maybe you just shouldn't cheat. Like,
yeah.
What? Imagine having an affair and then expecting people to change your wedding so you don't get caught. That's bonkers.
Bonkers.
Oh my gosh. So that relationship imploded right before my wedding. So I'm sure the mom loved that.
I was going to say the mom's going to blame the bride for that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All her fault. Meanwhile, my ex didn't speak to his own mother and insisted she not be invited. But she showed up anyway and sat at the back of the church. Ironically, though, she was the least of my problems that day. Man, I feel so bad for this bride. It's just one thing after the other. And it's just like drama from like immature people. I feel like.
I also feel like in some ways it's the universe maybe being like, don't get married. Like, this was not her. This wasn't for her. Yeah.
That is such a good point. I actually just read one, which by the time this comes out, it'll probably be like a couple weeks ago. It's coming out this week, but it was a similar thing, but it was more just drama with like caterers and stuff. No, was that the one? I read so many stories. But there was another one where all these bad things kept happening. And like later on, she's like, I think it was a sign that like it wasn't supposed to work, because literally 2 years later, a year later, we got divorced. And it was like, yeah. The universe being like, don't do it.
I do think like every wedding is going to have some things that go wrong. And also I feel like at my first wedding, like I just knew there was going to be something that would go wrong. And even though I didn't know what it would be. And so then when things went wrong, I was like, oh, that's not a big, like, okay, of course it's not going to go perfectly. And that doesn't in itself mean that you're not supposed to get married. But right. When it's like every single area is so much drama, like there's obstacles for a reason sometimes.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like, this is like a weird way to put it. Like the movie Final Destination. Okay, this is like really a weird way to put it. But you know, like
I'm excited though.
The things keep happening to them and it's like just keeps happening. Obviously, this is like I just feel like things are getting in the way of making this a beautiful wedding day.
Yeah.
And so it's like, where is this leading? Where's the final part of this wedding going to go? Because it's like, no matter what, they like, okay, brush aside this one thing. They brush aside this, but then this other obstacle keeps coming that it just, I don't know. It's interesting. There's just so much to comment on. Okay. After my ex's brother returned, he found more alcohol and started peeing in potted plants inside the expensive venue. He got thrown out again. But at that point, everyone was heavily drinking and he somehow snuck back in again. Okay, this is a problem.
Send and also home. Gross.
This is like terrible. The worst part was that my mother disappeared with my ex-husband's grandfather, who was nearly 80. She denies it to this day, but everyone knew something happened. Either way, disgusting. What is happening here? By the end of the night, the brother was so drunk he could barely stand. I'm surprised he made it that far.
Truly.
His pregnant sister-in-law tried taking him back to the other place with her partner. Instead, he pushed her and got into a fist fight with another brother-in-law. One of them went through a wall, the cops got called, and he spent the next 3 days in jail.
I mean, he needs other consequences than treatment probably, but yeah.
Yeah. If you are showing up that intoxicated and doing all these things, that's a problem. Fast forward 6 months into marriage. My husband was acting strange, secretive, distant, off. I checked his phone and found inappropriate texts from at least 4 women. One of them was only 19 years old.
That goes back to the suspicion from earlier of like, is there an age difference or does he just like, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely a problem. And it sounds like she had intuition or knew of cheating before the wedding, but now it's like
back up. Yeah.
It says, I confronted her. She said she didn't know he was married and told me he kept calling her and was eating at her restaurant 4 times a week. She promised she'd never speak to him again. And weirdly, we became friends, not close friends, but the kind of bond where you feel like you've both been lied to. That's happened to me before.
Okay.
I was that person where like when I was cheated on, I never blamed the woman because I was like, she was probably lied to from this a-hole just as much as I was.
Right.
And so there was like 2 different times where I became friends with the women and I'd be like, okay, like this is my new friend. And I'm like, that would probably piss them off more. So I like, it was
fair enough.
But she was lying. Oh, but she was lying to my face.
Oh.
Okay. He never stopped contacting her. And while I believed we were working on our marriage, he was actively building a life with her. Oh, after months of struggle, stress, sleepless nights, violent fights, and dramatic weight loss, I finally got the courage to leave. About a month after I moved out, he moved in with her. Oh, he sounds like a terrible person.
And this is going to be a serial thing that he does. The 19-year-old is going to find some other person that he's talking to that's younger again. And then he'll just keep doing this until the end of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once I filed for divorce, they announced they were expecting their first child.
Oh, no.
And the photo they used to announce it, the shoes he wore at our wedding. I wish I was kidding. I guess it all worked out for them in the end. They now have 2 kids and have been married for 5 years. But that relationship taught me a lesson I will never forget. When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them, yes. And honestly, just because they're still married doesn't mean that they're happily married or that he's not cheating.
Yeah.
Right? Like they could be married and who knows what he is doing. So.
Right. It's like the grass is always greener thing. You might see him and be like, oh, they're like posting these happy photos on Facebook or whatever. We don't actually know.
You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Absolutely. I'm glad for the person who wrote this story in that she's not in that relationship anymore and she can like see it for what it was. But
go through all of that and like have this. But I'm sure she looks back and she's like, the wedding was telling me, don't go through with it. Look at all this stuff. Walk away. She just ends with, I'm happily remarried now. I no longer speak to my mom, that bridesmaid, or obviously my ex. And honestly, this would all make a great story.
I feel like she needs an award for recapping all the things that we wanted to know at the end. Not everyone that writes in does that.
Yes.
And sometimes I know like when I'm listening to the episode, I'm like, wait, did you cut them off? Like, what's happening? And I love that this person was like, this is what happened and this is what happened. They gave us an epilogue.
Yes. No, I totally agree. There's so many times where I'm like, that's it. That's where they ended. Oh my gosh. I need to email them. And so sometimes we'll email them and we don't hear back, or sometimes they'll like send me an update later. But yeah, that was a good way to like tie it off. Like, I'm glad that she's happy now and got out of that really toxic relationship. Like you said.
And broke the pattern that her mom was in. She's not her mom. She's her own person and she doesn't have to be like her mom. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That touched on every kind of like drama I think I've ever read before. Wow. Well, thank you for sending that in. And thanks for reacting with me.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's wild. Let's end with a couple of confessions. They're sent to me on Instagram.
Let me do like some cards for the podcast or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Okay.
So this says, what wedding cost do you regret the most? We asked people on Instagram. This is what they said. This person said, the whole thing. I wish we would have eloped. Another person said, not doing RSVP only. There was too many people that were not invited. Interesting.
Wait.
Not doing RSVP only. There were too many people that were not invited. Oh, I wonder if they're thinking like they didn't like limiting RSVPs and they wish they would have just done like open. Because I've seen people doing that where there's like, just come if you can make it. So maybe that's what they mean.
I've never heard of that. Okay.
I started sharing stories. I've heard of a couple of people saying like we just had like a church basement or like a venue and just being like, oh, anyone can come to dinner and like it's a buffet. So maybe that's what they mean, but I don't know. Hmm. Interesting. This one says cake. No one cares about cake. Yeah. I think you need some kind of sweet treat. I don't think it has to be cake, but you need some kind of like sweet thing. That's what I like anyway.
Yeah.
And this last one says a photo booth because they didn't have guests create the book as instructed.
Oh, that's a shame. Honestly, even though my first marriage did end in divorce, I still have like so many really great memories from the photo booth and like pictures from that I love seeing from my wedding. So from that wedding.
Yeah. No, I love that. That's fun. I feel like photos too, like photos and videography, I feel like are like so worth it. But yeah, every wedding's going to be different, what you prioritize and that. Okay. So
is there something that you think is the expense that you wish that you would have not done? What's the expense that you would have changed?
Honestly, I feel like I was pretty good about saying like no to things. I was like, okay, we were pretty limited on, I shouldn't say limited on guest list, but I was like, if I haven't talked to them in the last 5 years, like they're not invited. The one thing that people always told me, they're like, don't get favors. Like no one uses favors, but I was so set. I was like, I love getting favors at weddings. I know most people don't. We did decks of cards, but there were a lot left over. A lot of people did leave cards. So I don't know. I would say maybe that if I had to pick, for example, I got a quote like for $4,000 for flowers. I ended up borrowing a friend's flowers. She made silk bouquets. Mm-hmm. So we didn't pay for flowers. All our bridesmaid dresses were under $100. I let them wear whatever shoes they wanted. So I feel like I was pretty like, stingy is the wrong word, but I was like spent where I wanted to spend, I should say. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
My wedding was a big ticket wedding, I would say. It was a lot. It was a destination wedding for almost everybody, even though it was where I lived. Nobody else lived there. And this could be for like another time, but we had everybody that was invited to the wedding got invited to something the night before the wedding because of the like inviting the out of town people to the rehearsal.
Yeah.
We did a whole special other event and we had like a farewell breakfast the next day too. And it was like, there was a lot going on. But the thing that I would actually have taken, I do hope to get married again. And I think the thing I would reduce the cost on is my dress. And I didn't even get a very expensive dress, but I don't know. That's just an area that I just don't really care about as much. I just feel like I don't need to spend close to $1,000 or over $1,000 or whatever on a dress. Like I really just, whatever. Yeah. I'm getting something way cheaper probably.
Yeah, I know. I was like that too with my dress. I feel like I'm so shocked when I hear like custom bride dress costs like multiple thousands of dollars because I went somewhere that was like direct, so it was like none of the overhead cost kind of thing. Yeah, that for me, I was like, I didn't go to like five bridal shops either. I was like, I went to one, tried on five dresses, and I knew how to, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I was just like waited, I don't know, I was just like older at the time, I don't know. Yeah. I just knew at that point.
Yeah
Okay, you want to do
let's do a couple oracle cards or something just for like maybe, especially with the new year, maybe some intentions for the listeners too. So this deck that I'm going to start with, just the cosmic guidance deck, and the kind of intent around it is opening yourself to guidance from the universe. So we'll just see what there's guidance for anyone listening, and they can take it if they want to or not. Just like a little message. Okay, a card just came flying out. Okay, so this is what it looks like if you're watching on YouTube. So it says, gratitude, appreciate present blessings. I like that. So just finding like some gratitude practices, I think that's really helpful, especially in this time that we're in right now, where things can be really scary and it can be hard to see like sometimes the positive without being toxically positive, but just finding something to be grateful for in the moment. Let's see if there's another card, another message. Okay, we're going to switch to a different deck. I won't use tarot for this just because it'll take us a little longer, but we'll do another one of like, this is my bloom deck. What's a way that you might need to grow or could, or an area that you really can grow and have success in 2026?
Will this like speak to me because I'm right in front of you, or is it just like anybody listening?
It'll be you and anyone that's listening, but yeah, your energy will be like the most prominent because it's your podcast.
Okay.
Okay. So we got Lotus. Ooh, your mud has purpose. Your mud has purpose. So like when you're stuck in the mud, there's a reason. I feel like this kind of goes back to some of the stories that we were listening. Like when it just feels like there's all these blocks, there's a reason it's telling you something. So maybe you have to learn how to get yourself out of the mud, or maybe the mud is trying to slow you down because you're trying to move too fast to get to somewhere else. Or sometimes the mud is to show you the places where the like people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Like maybe you got mud on you that you got to clean off before you're judging other people. So there could be lots of different reasons, but like your mud has a purpose, and mud also has nutrients in it. You have to, if you actually want to grow and you're a plant, you got to be put in the dirt. There's purpose to that so that you can actually bloom. And then the lotus is the symbol there. So,
okay.
So just a couple of messages for
Love that kind of stuff. I love doing that like internal work of understanding myself better. And I love the one you said about gratitude in your presence. Is that what it said?
Mm-hmm. Appreciate present blessings. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think too, we're so quick to look ahead, and not in like a bad way, but we're just like planning, constantly planning, or like, okay, when will this pass? Or, okay, what do I need to do next? And I feel like, at least speaking for myself, it's so hard to just sit in the present, just enjoy the moment you're in this moment. I get like, not anxiety, but I'm always thinking of like, what's the next thing? Okay, how am I going to do this? Okay, I only have 30 minutes till this. Okay, I got to do this. And it's just like, turn off the electronics or whatever and just be present in this moment and just enjoy it. Because I remember even as a kid, I'd be like, oh, I only have an hour until this. And it was just kind of like, even in my like happiest moments where I'm surrounded by like friends and family, I'm like thinking about, oh, what's the next thing? So that's like a good reminder.
It's making me wonder if you ever were to take StrengthsFinder. I feel like maybe you have like Achiever, where there's the positive is you are achieving, you're striving for things, you're good at executing on things, but then you can get like Achiever burnout and you're constantly having to achieve and you only feel good if you are achieving, or you feel like you're never achieving enough, or as soon as you achieve, you're already onto the next thing and forgetting to like celebrate your success. And it's actually, as you were talking about, it's making me realize. So I had made my 2026 bingo card. Have you ever made a bingo card for the, for yourself?
No, like a checklist almost.
So instead of it being like a checklist, if you were to play bingo, you don't have to clear the whole card to win, right? It's like, you just got to get five in a row in any way. And so I put things on there that I was like, if I get five in a row, that would be amazing. I put like bigger things on there, not things that I was like, I have to do all these things. It just feels more like, just put it out there and like almost wishes. Yes. And then like, will I get this? And one of the things I had put on my card was to be on a podcast.
Oh, there you go.
So I can check my first. Yes, this is my first one. So it's a reminder for me to be like, okay, I should actually like take a moment and be like, wow, I've already gotten one of my squares and I'll appreciate that little blessing. So
yes. And like soak it in too. Cause I think, we're also quick to like look ahead to the next thing and like not really like look around us and be like really feel out the senses of like, I'm doing it, or like this
exactly
is happening.
We got to celebrate our wins.
That test you were talking about, is that kind of like the Enneagram or like similar
but even more in depth and more backed by a lot more global research?
So I was gonna say, I literally,
I can send you the link.
Yes, please do, because I was gonna say, I literally just took the Enneagram the other day and I got Achiever. So when you said Achiever, I was like, okay, that constant. I'm like a 3, which is Achiever, and then a little two, which I can't remember the two.
Yeah,
is.
Three wing two.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my God, I like read it. But yeah, I'm so prone to burnout. I go. And then I like get so overwhelmed where I'm like, what's up? What's down? Like, who am mm-hmm. I? So yeah, that's fun. That happens every like few months. But yeah.
I understand. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was so fun
Thanks
chatting with you.
Thanks for having me.
Also, I like noticed the time. I'm like, I could talk to you forever.
I would love you to. Come anytime. Back on, I would like, love
you
know, to.
Can you just tell everyone where they can follow you for more updates, anything fun you're working on?
Yeah. So the best place is TikTok at Intuitively Beth. And I don't have Facebook or Instagram. The accounts that are there are scam accounts. Tarot readers oftentimes have people trying to copy them. So also just a shout out, if you are watching tarot on TikTok, like a real reader will never reach out to you. Yeah. You will reach out to them. And then my website, scam.store/intuitivelybeth. And that is a great place if you want to work with me or get in contact with me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Krista.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.